it was Dr. Riley giving me back Amanda. This girl that had been known for her smile and her joy, that had been hiding behind a mask. The real miracle story wasn't just about how he could change my physical appearance, but how he could bring me back a little bit to myself. And I think all throughout the last 3.5 years, there's been this struggle. Not just how do I fight infection or how do I beat this new medical diagnosis, but how do I continue to be the Amanda that comes into the room with my joy? I often say, I don't want to my illness to walk into the room before I do. And so often people can see you as a disease, a diagnosis, a problem, a pain point, but that's not really who you are. And I think we're always in this battle to show up and be who we really are, who we were made to be the miracle stories that have been placed inside of us. Welcome to the It's a Miracle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Farron, and I'm a walking miracle. Doctors have given me a terminal prognosis, but that doesn't mean my life is hopeless. If my journey has taught me anything, it's that none of us know for certain what the future holds, so we have the opportunity to see every day as a blessing and every sunset as an unpromised gift. So, to be honest, I'm actually re-recording this intro because as we recorded this episode, we ended up taking a deeper dive into my current health situation than I thought we would. I am known for being real about my challenges with my health and then questions that I ask about my strength to fight. However, while it may seem vulnerable, I usually package my pain with a bow of the perspective I have earned and the ground I have gained. I will take you through my valley, but I try to do it from the other side as I walk in a new understanding of victory. I'm going to tell you today about the miracle that helped reverse my organ failure, the reason I'm here to talk to you today. But as I talk about the You Can't Make This Stuff Up series of events and the miraculous moments that followed, I'm honestly doing so as I navigate the same kinds of infection and life-threatening mouth and dental issues that I celebrated overcoming a couple of years ago when it seemed impossible that I would survive. But I love doing the impossible. Like how at the beginning of this year, I made it my goal to walk the amount of steps it would take to cross the country. I also wanted to finish writing my book. I started both and finished my book. But ever since, every one of the dreams I have held for so long in my heart have also started taking shape. Not because of my efforts, but because of the people who are surrounding me, believing with me. And because of that, we are launching a miracle movement. And that starts on April 15th and ends on May 15th, with the goal that collectively we can walk the steps that I had planned to do in a year, in just a month. But more than just adding up miles, I want to add up miracle stories. I've said that one miracle I'm walking toward is, at the end of this, my book that never should have been written will be ready for the world. But honestly, I'm also walking for a miracle that I will once again defy the doctors and dentists and live to see that day. But it's not just about my miracle story. This is a movement of people who are believing. Believing that our faith is strengthened when it links arms with a community. That miracles are magnified when they are shared, that hope is most powerful when it's given away. So get ready for a miracle story. This one is one of my favorites to tell.
I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Podcast Like a Mother.
The Podcast Like a Mother podcast creation course is all about teaching you how to make podcasting work for your life. Podcasting should be easy, fun, and created right from your cell phone so that you aren't stuck behind a desk all day. It's time for you to leave your legacy and capture your miracle stories because you are here for a reason, to use your voice and inspire others. Head to the show notes to learn more. Welcome back to the It's a Miracle podcast. Today, we're going to dive into a miracle story that really has changed my life. But it wasn't the story that I thought I would tell. That's so often what happens with this journey, is that the diagnosis that I thought would define the next step is really just a catalyst for another miracle story. So let's talk about some miracles. When I went into the doctor in September of 2020 and knew that something was terribly wrong, one of the biggest indications was that my teeth were literally just falling out. Now, mind you, it was 2020, so I was probably the only conservative that was happy to wear a mask around and hide my failing teeth. They were breaking, they were chipping. To look back at pictures of that time, even now, it does something to me. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a vain person, but for me, I'm known for my smile. I'm known for my joy. And to be forced to cover that up or to take refuge behind a mask, even in moments when I didn't have to, it felt like my illness wasn't just taking my health, but it was taking a part of me. So when the doctors told me that the teeth that were falling out were a symptom of a greater problem, I knew that it had to be pretty bad, and it was. The infections that were in my mouth were traveling in my bloodstream to my organs, and they were causing organ failure. And so all of my counts were crazy, and that was really the point that the doctor said, it's too late. This systemic infection and inflammation that had happened from, crazy enough, a broken knee, the inflammation that had happened from that had caused infection in my mouth because of scleroderma. And again, scleroderma isn't an issue with your mouth or with your breaking bones and the osteoporosis that I have, but all of these things are what makes my health feel like I'm constantly playing whack-a-mole of what infection are we attacking, or what inflammation, or what broken bone, or what failing heart. And I say all of that with a smile on my face because it's all too big. It's all too scary. And so I know that the reason that I'm here today is not because I've figured out the solution, but it's because I've had miracle after miracle story. And even though I haven't had the moment, and sometimes I wonder, what would that moment look like? Because if when people are like, I'm healed, I'm all better, I'm like, are my teeth all going to be fixed? Are my bones all going to be working? Are my organs going to be functioning? And that feels all too big. And so just like one big miracle moment feels even sometimes too big to hope for, one medical success is worth celebrating. One infection, one battle, one is worth my life. It's worth that moment where I can go, you know what? I'm here to battle for another day. And victory after victory after victory has led me to 3.5 years after that initial diagnosis. So the crazy thing about my mouth happening and being fixed is another one of those you can't make this up kind of stories. It all started because I had moved to Florida after I was told that I had weeks or months to live. I knew that I didn't want to be in Colorado where it was cold, and with the altitude, my body wasn't functioning because my heart and my lungs really struggle to work well in the Rocky Mountain High. And so I moved back to Florida because in the midst of the pandemic, things were open, churches were open, Disney was open, and Colorado was still largely shut down. And I had worked in Florida and lived in Florida a couple years prior, so it felt like this home going. We rented an Airbnb for a little bit, and then I stayed in some extended stay hotels. And when I got down there, I had sold my car in Colorado because it had over 200,000 miles and wasn't probably going to make the journey down. It was a very faithful car, but I think that would have even been asking too much. So I got down there and I didn't have a car, and I'd been using someone's for a little bit. And I went to buy a car, and I got one for a great deal. And I was in the parking lot that night. I walked into the grocery store and I ended up getting hit in the parking lot. And a guy ran over me, literally ran over my leg, and drove away. It was a hit and run. It was crazy. I call my mom from the ambulance and I'm like, I got hit by a car. And she is this like mom in Colorado, knowing that I just bought a car that day. And she's like, your new car got hit. And I was like, no, I got hit. So I'm in the ambulance, and the EMT is listening to this one-sided conversation. I hang up and he looks at me and says, "So was she more upset? Was she going to be more upset if your car was hit or you were hit?" And I was like, "I think at this point, my mom figures that I'm invincible. The cars are not." But anyways, we get to the ER. And I had another broken bone, and the recommendation was to go to physical therapy. So, at my first physical therapy appointment, they're doing the evaluation. I've got my mask on, and at some point, I don't even remember why, I mentioned my mouth and how that was causing organ failure. And so, really, the physical therapy appointment was really to help my leg, but I knew that there wasn't a lot of hope for me in general. It was just, what can we do to make me more comfortable? And when the physical therapist looked at my mouth, he said, "Have you been to a dentist? Like, have you really, really talked to someone?" And I kind of shrugged him off and said, "I've been told it's too late. We can't do anything. I'm just trying to make the best of what I have left of my life." And he said, "I really think that you need to get some opinions on that." So I went on Facebook that afternoon and I just said to, on my Facebook status, "Is there anyone in South Florida that is a dentist that might be able to see me?" And I received a couple responses, but I received a message from one of the moms of some girls that had been on my worship team in kids' choirs when I worked at a church in South Florida. And she said, "Amanda, my husband is a dentist and he can do a consultation for you. Call his office, we'll have it all set up." So I don't know if you've had issues with your teeth, or I think all of us have had dental issues. And it can be really scary to walk into a dentist's office, especially with failing teeth and broken teeth. I think, at least for me, there was almost this weight and guilt of, this is my fault. And when you're going in to any circumstance and you feel like something is your fault, or maybe you could have done something different. And on top of that, you're embarrassed because your smile that these people maybe knew you for a couple years ago is not what it was. I walked into that office with all the bravery that I could muster, and I was met with the kindness of what I would almost call an angel, that was my dentist, Dr. Riley. And it was so comfortable. And I mean, he is a artist when it comes to your mouth. He works at Juno Beach Smiles, and it's right along. I mean, you walk across the street and you're looking out at the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful settings in the country, Jupiter Beach. And it's just, it was so beyond, I'll be honest. I walked in and I was like, I don't know that they know who I am because there is no way I can make this happen. But I walked in and I saw him and he looked over my mouth. And I think at first he was a little bit shocked. And he started to explain to me that whereas the dentist that had consulted me previously had either said, we need to take out all your teeth and put in dentures, and oh, by the way, here's our business office, and let's finance you for $80,000. And I had sat across from them and said, I have 6 months to live. We're not going to pay $80,000 for 6 months to live. And so that's where I had just closed the door on dental work and had moved to Florida and just said, it's too late. The doctors have said it's too late. So fast forward to sitting there with Dr. Riley, and he said, I agree. If we took out your mouth, or if we took out all your teeth and we did dentures, in theory, that could maybe take care of the infection. But he said, what I actually think would happen is your body would go into shock, and your mouth is too compromised. Your body is too compromised. That would not be wise. I wouldn't feel like we could do that. And I knew that that was the case because doctors are so afraid to put me under general anesthesia that I actually had all four of my wisdom teeth taken out without any medication of numbing and without being put under, because my body can't sustain it. And so he explained to me, he said, Amanda, what we need to do is we need to do this slowly and carefully and take care of you. And so he said, what we'll need to do is do it in quadrants of your mouth. And so we'll go after this one and we'll take care of this because this has the most infection. And then we'll move over here and we'll move around. And all along the way, he said, we're going to get you to a better and better smile. And he starts explaining this to me, and it sounds so overwhelming that I said, is there any way that we could FaceTime my mom to just kind of explain this? Because it felt like too many details and too much information for me to absorb and be able to relay back to her. Because I don't know if any of you have the mom that you leave anything and she's like, well, did you ask this? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And I usually just put my mom on mute. I don't think she listens to these podcasts, so don't tell her. But I'll just put her on mute and like let her talk and ask all of her questions and nod along, you know, and then go on and be like, Mom, I have no idea. So we FaceTimed her because that felt like the easier option. And as we FaceTimed her and he explained it, she started to cry and we hung up, and I think he was a little bit shocked, like, why was she crying? Why are you emotional? And I said to him, the thing you don't realize is you were offering hope. We don't get hope very often anymore. We don't get possibility anymore. And you didn't just give my mom a medical solution. Through this camera, you gave her some hope. And so he had to go and he was going to do some renderings and some different things. And he came back in the room. They had taken an initial photo of my mouth and myself. And so he was going and he was kind of putting together a treatment plan. And he came back in. And I remember while he was gone, I was thinking, this all sounds so great, but I have a terminal illness. I've already been told that, this kind of thing would be so expensive. And what he's explained is in so many ways even more extensive than just taking out all my teeth and putting dentures in. He's going to go in and take out and change the ones that need to be taken out, but then he's going to put, the veneers on some and the bridges on others and really be strategic about it. And I was just thinking, there's no way I can make this happen. And I don't even think it's probably worth it. Because why would we do this for a couple of months or weeks or whatever doctors have said I had? So he came back in and he explained it all once more. And he said, I want you to go home tonight. I want you to think about it. I want you to talk it over with your mom. And tonight I'm actually going to send you a picture of what I think it could look like at the end of this. And he said, and Amanda, I want you to know everything I do, I'm just doing for you. I want you to come back and tell me if you want to do it. But if you want to do it, I don't want you to think about the finances. I'll take care of it. He said, you taught my girls how to worship. This is the least that I can do for you. So you can imagine I'm sobbing. I have all this hope. That night, I went home and I couldn't even believe it. And then he sent that picture. And I remember opening up my email. And that picture, that rendering of what my smile could look like, was not just Dr. Riley giving me the hope of potentially ending my organ failure or potentially giving me some teeth that had fallen out. But it was Amanda giving me, it was Dr. Riley giving me back Amanda, this girl that had been known for her smile and her joy, that had been hiding behind a mask. The real miracle story wasn't just about how he could change my physical appearance, but how he could bring me back a little bit to myself. And I think all throughout the last 3.5 years, there's been this struggle. Not just how do I fight infection or how do I beat this new medical diagnosis, but how do I continue to be the Amanda that comes into the room with my joy? I often say, I don't want to my illness to walk into the room before I do. And so often people can see you as a disease, a diagnosis, a problem, a pain point, but that's not really who you are. And I think we're always in this battle to show up and be who we really are, who we were made to be the miracle stories that have been placed inside of us. And so I knew that at the end of the journey that he had laid out before me, if I made it through that, and trust me, it was a painful thing, it was hard. And a lot of teeth came out and a lot of teeth went in, and none of that is easy. But of course, it was so worth it. And at the point that I walked out of that office and we had kind of arrived at that rendering that he had sent me literally months before, I realized that not only did I have a smile, but as I stepped across, as I said, that one road that separated the parking lot of the dentist's office to the beach that I love to walk along, I was alive to walk along that beach. That was in the summer of 2021. And remember, they had told me that I might not even live to see the beginning of 2021. But instead, it was, I think, probably the first massive miracle story that I got to take that step after step after step, walking along the beach and knowing that my life had been saved. But not just my physical health life, my life, who I was coming back alive because of this miracle. We're 3.5 years after that diagnosis. And in addition to never wanting to throw my hope and my joy and my smile by the wayside, I'm also still this dreamer that thinks my miracle story can inspire people and bring hope. And I've seen it happen. And about a month ago, I was invited to speak at Crypto Arena and recognized as a woman of impact for my resilience and blah, 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 blah. It's really not about the accolades. And it's really not about a title or even about standing on a stage and speaking to people. That moment for me, where I got to share, felt like I was finally walking in the purpose of all of this pain. I've long hoped to be able to have a platform, not for the sake of a platform or a stage, but because I really believe that my miracles can be a megaphone for hope. I think that miracles are magnified when they're shared, and hope is most powerful when it's given away. And so, as I stood on that stage and spoke to people, it wasn't about being a woman of resilience, but it was about how resilience has really led me to see the miracle of my story and help others be inspired to see their miracle stories. And that was Thursday. And on Friday, we went back to real life. And I found myself in a dentist's office here in California. A very esteemed dental surgeon, because once again, there's an infection in my body that had caused one of my beautiful teeth that had been restored to fall out. And again, not only is it not fun to like, excuse me while I go super glue some teeth into my mouth, but it was that I remember when that tooth fell out, it was like I was taken back to 3.5 years ago. And I could see and sit in that very doctor's office and know that it was a picture of something that was catastrophically wrong. And so, when I sat in that dentist's office about 3 weeks ago and she laid out my options, because the infection that had caused that tooth to fall out is not just held in that one tooth, but it's moved to my jaw and even now is causing ear pain and was causing my eye to droop and daily pain in inflammation and infection. So she sat and gave me three options. One was to take out all the infection, which would include taking out a large part of my jaw, most all of my teeth and looking at down the road if there would be a possibility of implants and dentures. But the recovery time just to tackle that is overwhelming and would require my doctors and specialists to all sign off, of which she doesn't even know if that could happen. Option two was to basically manage it as best we can, as we have been for the 3.5 years. But her fear was that we wouldn't really be able to do enough with the infection to make a huge difference. And then there was option three, which I brought to the table. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know that I can do that. I'm tired. This has been a long road. It's been a beautiful road and a lot of miracle stories, but I just don't know if I have that much fight left in me. I don't know if I can overcome the pain this time around. I don't know if I really believe that I'm supposed to. I know where I'm going and I'm not afraid of it. And I've said that all along. And so I don't know that this is worth it. So I said, if we don't do anything, how much longer will I have? And it was at that point that I was very emotional and crying, which I usually can hold it together in a doctor's office. But I was kind of a mess, and I don't even know really what was said at that point. And then, wouldn't it be like Amanda? Something from within me that I don't know where these things come from, other than it's probably part of the miracle. I laughed and I looked at her and I said, here's the thing. There's a really good chance that a month, 6 months, a year from now, we're going to be sitting here and I'm going to be alive and you're going to look at me and go, I don't know how you're alive. And I'm going to look at you and say, I know. It's a miracle. And she looked at me very confused and I think tried to laugh and also probably thought I had just lost my mind. But in the space between option two and option three, and the laughter that came from, I'm probably still just going to be alive. Through tears, I sat there and I thought, it's too late. All of these things that are finally coming together, the book that I've written, the speaking engagement that I just had, the podcast that I want to start, it's too late. It's all coming together and I'm not going to be here for it. I'm not going to be able to carry this message. And I think that's where that little bit of fight that I thought I had lost, I found was strong enough for at least one more battle. And in that moment, I realized that whether it's a podcast or speaking or a book, it's really not about any of those. But what it's about is I still don't know the future. We're 3 weeks out, and we still don't have a plan for how we're going to address this. We've done more DNA testing, we've reached out to more doctors. But while my future isn't determined, I know that what I'm building isn't just about more days. I want to build a legacy. And I think that legacy is something that allows me to sign up for the battle. It gives me the strength to fight. Because no, I don't know my tomorrows.
But I know the hope that I want to point people toward, and it's not adding up days on a calendar. My days may be numbered, or it might be just like I sat across from that dentist, and I may be here a month, 6 months, a year from now. But it's really not about that. It's about the story that I want my life to tell, the miracle story. And not just because my miracle story is what matters, but because every miracle story matters. Every person matters. Every story that can be inspired, because every person has one of those. Just like when I got that terrible news 3.5 years ago, and there was that sunset that I saw that reminded me that every moment was a gift. I left that dentist appointment and it ended about 3:30, and it was a Friday, and I was like, there is no way that I can make it to the ocean for a sunset. And yet I got there and I parked my car, and I did not want to get out because I did not want to see the sunset, and I didn't want to be the girl that said it doesn't matter what the doctors say. I wanted to sit there and be sad about it. And so I got out of my car and I walked that familiar trail in at Corona Del Mar. And the sun hadn't started setting yet. So I actually walked back, and I was having this little like temper tantrum with God, I think, where I was like, no, I am not going to see the sunset. I want to be upset. And so I walked back and I sat in my car and I was going to drive away. And I was pulled back and I got out of my car and I started walking. And wouldn't you know, I have the pictures on my phone. It was the most beautiful sunset. And in fact, at one point, all of Orange County thought a UFO had taken off because there was a SpaceX launch. And so there's this trail of this like crazy rocket ship. And I'm like, wouldn't it be like God that there's a rocket ship going off and a beautiful sunset on the day that I didn't even want to look at it? So here I am. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what my future looks like, but I know that I'm called to build a legacy beyond the days determined on a calendar, because we all are. We all have the opportunity to leave an impact that'll last. None of us know when it ends, but we don't have to wait to begin. We can live every day as the gift, as the unpromised miracle, as the sunset that we didn't want to look at, but lit up the sky and reminded us that it's so much bigger than our moments.
Well, and here's what I know. Even though it is completely heartbreaking to hear you talk about that moment of wanting to give up, we all have those moments and we can all relate to that. And it's not that we don't crumble, it's that we get back up again. And you've said before that your hope doesn't have limits, your strength doesn't have limits either. And I know that you're going to keep fighting, and I know that you're going to keep getting back up again because that's who you are. Just like you are the girl who smiles and lights up every room, you are the girl who does not stop fighting for hope and for life and for joy. Even if you have a moment where you crumble, we all do. We all do. And it's refreshing, I think, for us to hear you be so genuine and authentic about those moments because it's really real. It's really real that that is your experience. But we're all here to fight with you in every way that we can.
Thank you. And I think that that's, it's the both, you know, it's being really real and also reminding people that it is the sunsets and it's the sparkle UGG boots that I wore as I walked that reminded me that it's worth wearing the boots. It's worth taking the moment, having the opportunities to see the little things. I may not be able to fix my mouth in an afternoon or cure an infection by my own will, but you know what I can do? I can choose to put on sparkle UGG boots. I can choose to get out of my car when I don't want to. And I can choose to take my sparkly feet to the beach and see a sunset. And I think those are the choices that we can all make. We can't control our lives. None of us can. We aren't defined by our circumstances. We can be defined by our hope. Wear the sparkles.
Thank you for joining me for another episode. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your favorite platform and consider leaving a review. It really does help this show get seen and heard by more people. If you want to stay up to date with the Miracle Movement, please follow me on Instagram at Amanda_Farron or join the It's a Miracle Facebook group. All the links will be in the show notes. Keep looking for the miracle moments in your life, and I'll see you next time.